This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice in it.
Amen. Turn in your Bibles way back to Exodus. It's Genesis is the first book, Exodus is the second book, so you don't have to go to the very back and start flipping forward all that way. Just go to the beginning and start going backwards a little bit. But Exodus is where we'll be for the beginning, and then we'll move to one other section in the New Testament. Exodus chapter 20. And as you turn to Exodus 20, keep in mind this is a new year. We have new worship. We are a new creation. And guess what? Adam's come with a new challenge to prayer of faith. Oh, thank you. I was waiting for that. Usually comes with challenges. I want us to work starting today, to be who God wants you to be. And that sounds simple enough. Well, He wants me to be His child. Well, what in the world does that mean? I want you to start today speaking to God and saying, God, who is it that you want me to be? I don't care how old you are or how young you are. God has a plan for you. If you're sitting in here right now, God has a plan for you. And we need to discover what His plan is and get on a path to get there. Amen? We have got to start moving from where we are to where He wants us to be. Some of us, that move may be just a little bit. And for some of us, we're going this way. And He says, whoa, whoa, whoa. What I want you to be is way over here. And you're going the wrong direction, guys. I need you down here. We may be thinking, hey, He wants us up here. Let me climb these steps. He wants me to be up here. And He's saying, I don't want you up here. Guys, I want you to come down here. Okay, and I know you desire to be up there. And I'm not talking literally up there on that stage, but wherever it is we see ourselves in life. And He says, I want you down here. And sometimes He doesn't want us just down here, but He wants us a little lower. Remember a couple weeks ago, and I got down on my knees and I said, He may want us down this low, church. This low. And we think, but God, I had bigger plans for myself. And He said, yeah, I know that. But I have bigger plans for you to be more useful down there rather than on an elevated place that you want to put yourself. And I want us to strive to be who God wants us to be. Today's message is talking about the vital church. And in the Bible it tells us the vital church grows through this. And a growing church has these characteristics and people and attributes to it. As we celebrated Jerry's life yesterday, they gave opportunity for people to come speak. And they spoke of her love and her compassion and her prayer ministry. And what a burden that was when something happened or when she was praying for someone, how she just took that on herself. And those of you that are prayer warriors and prayer partners, and hopefully we're all prayer partners in a sense, but those of you that have that burden to be prayer partners for this church or others, that is a heavy burden to carry around. The prayers of other people. And it weighs on those people. And it weighs on us as pastors to see you guys going through that. And sometimes it's a matter of saying, God, where do you want me to be? So Genesis chapter 20. And we're just going to start right at the beginning in verse 1. And it says, and God spoke all these words, saying to them, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then guess what comes after that? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or, listen carefully, church, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands. And do not forget that wherever you are today. But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless, who takes his name in vain. I don't even want to go to gutless. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. The Ten Commandments. Many of us have learned that from an early age growing up in Sunday school. We have them on the walls. We have them different places. We try and memorize those in order. And God says, man, these are the things. These are my commandments that I give to you to give to the people, to give to the Israelites. And then he goes on in verse 18 through 21. And I want you to listen carefully to this. He says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Did you hear that? The people trembled. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear you, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear. For God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So Moses is trying to lead the Israelites, and he comes down with these Ten Commandments given to him from God, and said, this is what God told me to give to you. These Ten Commandments. And they were fearful with everything going on around the mountain and the smoke coming down and the fire and the trumpets and the thunderings. But I thought it was very interesting. The people feared God. Listen to what Moses said. The people feared God. And he says, do not fear. Why? For the Lord God has come to do what? The Lord God has come to test you. He says, don't be afraid. This is just a test. Then what? And that his fear may be before you. Why? Why did he want his fear to be before them? He said, don't fear God, but let you have the fear of God. And there's a big difference for just a few words. Why? So that you may not sin. One of the things that people talk about a lot is, what are we missing from the old days? The fear of the Lord. I truly believe that we do not have the fear of the Lord in us. We bounce through and we think, I've survived so far, no big deal. Again, we just talked about when God brings life into this earth, we know that with that comes death. Now there's a matter of time that we want to lapse. Jerry Nicely, when I visited her last Thursday, looked at me both with joy and sadness in her eyes. And she said, Adam, I've lived a good life, and I have lived a long life. And it's okay, Adam. I don't want to leave Olin, but it's okay. Because I know I'll see him again. And while she was sad to be leaving Olin, she had joy in her heart and in her eyes. She said, I'm okay, and I'm ready. With life comes death. We don't have the fear of the Lord with us. And he says, I need you to have that because I'm testing you. And why are you testing me? So that you do not sin. I need you to remove sin from your life. I mean, if we look through this Old Testament, New Testament, 2,000 years since that time, it's the same thing. Guys, I need you to not sin. Thank you, God, got it. And then we turn around and we trip right out of the door, you know, right out of the gate. He wants to protect us from sin, keep us from sinning in ourselves. So we take the Ten Commandments and we lay that over our life. How does that fit? Where are the holes in the Ten Commandments? Now, there's a couple pretty sketchy ones in there, and, you know, we can talk privately about those things, but let's not wave our hand if some of those things are you. But stealing, lying, the Lord's name in vain, adultery. I'm sure for many of us, there's something in there that we've messed up on. It doesn't fit too well when we lay that on. We may think, well, it's just a little odd. When I put a pair of socks on and it has a hole, big toe, little toe, somewhere in the middle, heel, it doesn't feel right. And it's the same thing with God's law. When He lays that on us and we put that on, but we've managed to wear holes in certain areas of it, that's the old man. And it's time to put on the new man. It's time to get rid of those old socks or whatever. We've probably beat a few of those Ten Commandments up a little bit. Maybe the Lord's name in vain. Maybe the lying. I didn't lie, I just stretched the truth a little bit. Okay, you lied. You lied when you said that. That's not lying. Yes, it is. On Wednesday nights here, we're studying the book of Acts. And I want us to turn over in Acts, if you would, Acts chapter 2. And I'm excited about studying Acts and what we're going through in there, because really this is the start of the new church. Jesus started this movement. And He took this ragtag group of 12 men, different backgrounds, different personalities for sure. You notice God didn't pick all 12 people the same thing. They all had their various quirks or differences or opinions, as we read throughout the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. But when we talk about the new church, Peter's just delivered his first message, really, in Acts 2:14. He goes through that. And we're going to pick it up in Acts chapter 37. And when he delivers this, he's addressing the men of Israel. He says that a little earlier on in chapter 2. Addressing the men of Israel. And it tells us in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And I want to try and get a picture. I want us all to try and get a picture. When was the last time you heard something from the Gospels or from God, or a preacher or a pastor, wherever, that you were cut to the heart and you thought, ooh. But Peter preached this message, and the men that listened to him were cut to the heart. Now, mind you, they're trying to figure out, I got to find this new way to do things. But you see, our generations have been doing it this way for thousands of years. And now you're telling me there's a new law and a new way to do things, and I don't have to do it that same way. It's very similar when people come to Christ that may have had no church or a different church background. And they say, well, this is the way we used to do it from our grandparents, our parents, whatever. Generations did it this way. So they're still struggling in the new church, if you will, trying to find out, how do I make the old and new come together? And they're trying to connect that to them and tell them how to do that. But it says they were cut to the heart. They felt bad. And then the response right after that in verse 37 says, the men asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I feel convicted in my heart. What shall we do? And Peter repeated the same thing that he told them before. But I want to ask, is there any aspect of your life right now that doesn't sit well with you and God? And you know it. And you know it. I'm not asking you to confess that to me. I'm really saying confess it to God, but guess what? He already knows it. But I'm asking you, is there an area of your life that does not sit well with you and God right now? Is there any area of your life that disappoints God right now? I'm not talking about disappointing your friends, yourself, your parents, your children. I'm talking about, is there any area of your life that disappoints God right now? Brethren, what shall we do? I can assure you, for the men of Israel that he was addressing, he didn't say, "Well, just keep doing the same old thing and come back and hear me next time I'm in town." He didn't do that. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "And Peter said to them, repent." Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." What then shall we do, church? It's simple. It tells us, repent. Now, I don't want to say that the church, not this one, but the church in general, I don't want to say that they've worn out repentance or whatever. I really think as individuals, we've worn out repentance. Because we talk about, "Oh, I repented of my sins." And I think usually what we do is acknowledge them, admit them, confess them, maybe ask for forgiveness for them, and then go back into them. And that is not repentance. That is not repentance. And what he's talking about here is, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. We acknowledge we do wrong. We acknowledge that we fall short. It's biblical, Adam. We know we're all going to fall short. Okay, great, great. We acknowledge we fall short. We acknowledge when we do wrong. We may even acknowledge that we're selfish and prideful. Now what? Just keep on doing it? Week after week turns into year after year. And then you run into people that say, "I've been a Christian for 50-some, 60-some, 80-some years." And you're thinking, you must have, you know, like my poor Bible, you must have missed a huge section here. Pieces are falling out and you've missed something very important there. Or your pastor has missed something very important that you didn't hear this part of it. And what I'm asking for is that we do something different. What if today you said, "I want to be who God wants me to be. And I want to focus on that every day." What if one person in this church, one person, it only takes a spark to keep the fire going. I think an old campfire song and different songs or whatever. But it only takes a spark to keep the campfire going, to keep the fire going. But if one person today started a movement that sparked others in this church, in their homes, in their schools, in their jobs, to acknowledge their sin and do something about it, to be radical. To be radical. Really, I'm just saying be biblical. You know, we may call it radical. Oh, my Lord, He wants to start some movement. No, I don't. He does. He wanted to start a movement with 12 individuals. And thousands of years later, that movement is still going. I'd say it's going strong, but I'm going to say it's going so-so. Because I think if it was going strong, we would know who He wants us to be in Christ, and we would be pursuing it as individuals and as a church. And that's my challenge to you as a church. Let us pursue who He wants us to be. Let's do something, again, radical, like actually repenting. And that sounds simple enough, Adam. No. Guys, I've been there. I've been in a comfort zone and things that I shouldn't be doing because I was comfortable. I thought, I don't want to live without it. I don't want to live without them. I don't want to live without that. I enjoy this. Then what'll I do? What will I do with my time? Smokers sometimes, I don't know what to do with my hands. Well, just start waving at everyone. Hey, how you doing? I don't care. I don't know. But it's those habits that I don't know what to do because I've got this extension right here. What do I do now? Well, you can do that all day long. Just don't smoke. It's stopping that habit. What I don't want to do is go through life day in and day out getting offended at everything. I don't really care about TV and Facebook and all that. You guys know that. My Lord, look what's going on in some of those arenas. As Christians, for some reason, Facebook has not become a place to show our faith, but to show our ignorance or to show our lack of faith in certain situations. And for some reason, we think it's okay to let her rip on that thing and act like that's not a Christian mouthpiece for us. And as I've said before, I think we misrepresent Christ when we let loose on that about our personal issues, our family issues. And that's just my personal opinion. But if we're Christians, our behavior in church is the same as it is at work, is the same as it is in school, is the same as it is in our homes, and the same as it is on Facebook. Doing something on Facebook and plastering stuff out there is no different than standing up here and saying it with a microphone on a camera that's filming it for everybody to see. And then question, my Lord, who are they? And they're connected to Jesus Christ? Because I don't see it. I'm glad I said that. Let me move over here. For a reason that connects to this is where I'm going with that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean just that I blasted that. Facebook is a great source to communicate with people that you haven't seen and ways to communicate. But when we use that, man, as Christians, we've got to be more responsible for our actions and our deeds and our words and our behaviors than we are. And we've got to allow people to hold us accountable. And that's where we get offended as Christians. Someone holds us accountable. Who do they think they are? Now I'm mad. I better get back over here. I better just stick to this. I'm sorry. But, well, that's part of this. And that's what I'm talking about, though. Guys, it is radical to change our behavior. It's radical to change our behavior and live for Christ. Titus chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. But Titus chapter 1, and we'll close with this. We'll work towards closing with this. I better clarify that. I looked over, saw another page there. But Titus chapter 1, he's talking about, really I love this, and he's talking about elders of the church and qualities of a sound church and leaders in churches. But I really think each one of you is a leader in the church. And you represent Jesus Christ as much as Pastor Eric and myself. And in verse 16 of Titus chapter 1, it has more, and I'm trying to skip it, but I really feel like reading this. But it says they teach things they shouldn't. And then in verse 16, he's trying to tell them how to behave. He says, they profess to know God. Listen carefully, church. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Matthew 7 talks about that. Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not prophesy? That's been an amazing thing that I keep going back to, thinking there's going to be people that say, Lord, Lord. And He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. It's talking about a sound church and a vital church and a healthy church. I don't think in church or in our work life in the world, I don't think it is fair for us to expect maximum reward for minimum effort at our jobs. I don't think it makes any more sense than in the spiritual world, we should expect any type of maximum reward, blessing, or benefit for our very minimal efforts. God is a gracious God. He may say, you haven't done a whole lot here, but man, I'm going to bless you. And then He's going to watch us squander it or something, you know, if it's money. He's going to bless us with family, and He's going to watch us not treat Him well. Or He's going to bless us with a job, and He's going to watch us mess it up and not take it seriously and lose that. And He'll do those things because He can, but I don't think it really makes sense for us to expect it. He's God. He can do anything. What do you do in the dry bones? Man, come to life. He can do anything, but it doesn't make sense for us to expect and wait and wonder, well, where's God with this big blessing? I'd match that up to our obedience level. Today, all I want us to do is allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. This isn't Adam had a I have a challenge for you, yes, but this isn't Adam saying, well, he was condemning me or anything like that. No. I'm merely preaching the word and saying, I challenge you to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I challenge you to become the person God wants you to be, which is in the Bible. He'll talk all about that, and I give you more specific examples. But He wants you to be someone, and He wants you to be the best you can be. And your body is a temple, and He wants you to take care of that body. And He wants us to help hold each other accountable for our actions. But when we do that, church, we do it in love and a spirit of gentleness. Amen? Today, it's time to put the old man away and leave him there. And it's time to put on that new man. And every now and then, if this was a new suit, every now and then, this is going to get wrinkled. Could be now. I don't know. I can't tell. Every now and then, it does need a little work. Just like the new man will sometimes need work. Two steps forward, one step back is always what? Forward progress still. If you go here and you stumble and go back a step, you're still further than you were back here. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, I think when you do that, that's not progress. That's just rocking back and forth. But when you do this and take those two steps, then that's progress. Sometimes you may not take the forward progress, but it's sidestepping. And if you're getting out of something but in the same place, so long as you're getting out of something that you shouldn't be in, count that as progress as well, church. Today I'm just asking you to clothe yourself in humility. Put aside your pride. For some of us, put that aside for once in our life. We wear that thing around like a giant headdress, like a warrior. put that pride aside, humble ourselves, clothe ourselves in humility. And today you may need to repent for any number of things. And I had a list and I wasn't going to read it. I said, let you guys pick it, but I'm going to help pick your brain just in case you think you're pretty good, including myself. You may need to repent. If you've got evil thoughts towards others, and some of these could be parents that went years and years and years, your parents may be gone now, and you may still have resentment or anger towards them. It's time to let those thoughts go. Give those to Jesus and ask Him to help you through that. Maybe anger, abuse, holding back finances to the church. I'm about tired of talking about that. It's a sign of an unhealthy church when I talk about it so much. So right now, I'll just tell you the health report isn't good. And we need your help and we need your obedience, church. Lying, stealing, cheating, immorality, drugs, addictions. The list can go on and on. And I'm not asking as I read any of those for you to stand or raise your hand or anything. All I want you to do today is pray. Pray and obey. That was one of our challenges years ago for something different. But I want you to pray. And I want you to ask God, who do you want me to be? What is it you want me to stop doing or start doing? For the things that I'm doing well, what do you want me to continue doing? Maybe grow in that area. It's a new year. When we accepted Jesus Christ, we put on the new man. And we were supposed to take off the old man and put him away. And leave him there and put him off for good. What I'm going to do is pray today as we close. I'm going to close with a blessing for our chili dinner so we can get right into that business. And I challenge you to think about this message and not leave here and come back next week with no thought as to what God wants you to do and who He wants you to be and how He wants you to get there. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the gift You've given us of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, while we know that His life ended on a cross and in a brutal way, that it had to be that way so that we can have the life You've promised us. Father, today my challenge to the church and to myself is to be who God wants us to be. To actually spend time thinking about who He wants us to be. God, who You want us to be. And then what is the next step in our faith journey You would have us take to pursue that? Lord, sometimes it's stepping into things we don't want to step into. Other times it's stepping out of things that for selfish reasons we don't want to step out of. Lord, sometimes it's getting rid of habits that aren't necessarily bad, but they're habits that pull us away from You. And Holy Spirit, I just ask You to speak. Speak to us today. Help guide us today. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ. I want to give you that opportunity. If you have questions about that, I just want you to raise your hand as we pray so we never miss that opportunity. You may be an adult and be missing that. But as we pray, just lift your hand up so we can talk to you about that opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you just need help. I simply ask that you would find me after service. You'd find Pastor Eric after service, either one of us, and just say, I need some help. Not that I'm lost, I just need help moving forward in that direction because I'm stuck in a place I don't know how to get out of. Lord, I ask You to bless us today, bless the food that we're about to eat, to the nourishment of our bodies, Lord. Bless the fellowship to the nourishment of our soul. Lord, bless those hands that have prepared it and labored over it. Give us a wonderful time of fellowship. bless us this week as we go out. Help us in the way we treat one another, the way we act towards those we know and don't know, the words we speak to those we know and don't know. Lord, I ask this week that we pay close attention to our tongues and the words we speak to one another, that we would edify those we come in contact with, that where we need to be silent rather than speak up, you would silence us, even when we're right. Lord, help grow us to be better ambassadors of your Son, Jesus Christ, to reflect his love and his light in a more positive manner and role. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.